Hey guys, welcome back one more time to Charlie's Bunker. As you can see, I don't have any background music because me, being the person that I am, I forgot my tablet. So I don't have anything to play to play music. Yeah, listen, yes. There are moments where I am forgetful and I'm a little distracted most of the time. So I guess this weekend I said I'm not going to work and therefore I didn't bring the tablet. I remember I put it in my backpack. Oh, wow. I don't know what happened. But let's just continue, all right? No background music. Thank you, everybody. And one more time, I would like to thank Nelly Baby for being here on the show another week. Welcome. How's it going, Nelly Baby?
Hey, guys. Welcome to Charlie's Bunker. It's me, Nelly Baby. Just dangling here in my life for life and Charlie Bunker before Charlie cuts me off.
I am. Okay, so she was talking about actually quitting the last time. I am not firing her. And I have to keep her, what's the word I'm looking for? Happy, I guess. Because if not, she's going to leave. And who's going to do the hard work? I'm not. I can barely bring a tablet. So I need her. So
you
she
can't even bring a tablet.
I can't even bring a tablet. You know, forget it.
Now I'm going to have to go ding, 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 and make the music on myself in the background.
Well, you haven't done our shingles. You haven't done our shingles. And yes.
I don't have shingles.
No. That's an inside joke for anybody else who had listened to the previous segments when she was doing a shingle.
A jingle,
right? So instead of me saying jingle, I said shingles. So therefore now it's the word shingles. So she hasn't done her shingles, but she doesn't have any shingles. And I don't have any shingles, but she hasn't done our jingle. So I think it's a good opportunity for you to actually do our jingle today since we don't have any backup music.
I forgot it.
Bro. But I am not gonna fire you.
Write it down. You know what? You being the boss man, you could have recorded it, and then you could always pop it up whenever we have moments like this.
That is true, and it didn't occur to me. You know, so sue me. All right, it didn't occur to me. Next time, I remember mm-hmm. the shingle. I remember it, but we'll do it off cameras. Okay, we're gonna record that off cameras, and we'll do it another time. Is that good for you? Is that good?
Yes.
Okay, cool. Yes. So let's just
maybe
go.
Maybe with some more cowbell.
Maybe with some more cowbell. Okay, now I'm going to have that song stuck in my head with Will Ferrell with his shirt right next to his belly button. No, it's
that.
Da, da, da. That's right. That is exactly right. Okay, so let's get into the topics. Now, if we sound a little bit off, it's because we are a little bit exhausted. I am exhausted. Yesterday, I was, you know, I had a little gathering, right? A little gathering. And mm-hmm. I'm so hungover right now. So I'm telling you, I think today is not the good day to actually have these topics because we're going to get into a lot of arguing. And I am not mentally there to argue. So I think it's going to be Nelly's baby's opportunity for her to actually school me in this whole thing. But let's get to the first topic, okay? So I was scrolling through Facebook like any other day, mm-hmm. right? And then I saw a video that it was very interesting. Now, this is another podcast that I just found out because I see the videos that they, you know, the reels they play on Facebook. And they actually put an interesting question. So it was a panel and they had, I think it was five women in there. And there was three guys, right? So the question was that they posted on the woman was, If men get intimidated by a woman that's independent. So we're going to start it there. Do you think men are intimidated by the dependency or the independency of women?
It depends. If the man has his own right and his own money and his own, you know, career, I don't think he's I don't think he should be offended or be intimidated by an independent woman.
Why not, though?
Because he has his own. And if she has her own, then they're equal.
Okay, so I think the issue there is, what is the word independent? So are we talking about financially independent, or are we talking about personally independent, or are we talking about independence as just in general? Because I think that some men, I don't think they're intimidated by a woman's independency. If she's able to make money and if she's able to take care of herself, I don't think they're intimidated by that. I think a man, if he is intimidated, it's by the fact that it comes with a certain attitude that men usually do not like. You know where I'm going with this? Mm-hmm. So what do you think on that?
Like, attitude-wise, like, what, the woman?
Yeah,
like,
yeah. High-strung? Well, of course, because if the question is, it's been presented as, is a man intimidated by a woman's independence, then we know that the one receiving the action is the man. So, therefore, we're talking about the man. So what is the woman doing for him to feel intimidated? So I guess that would be something that, you know, we can talk about. What is it that intimidates a man? Of course, a woman cannot, if they're not being intimidated by a man, I don't think, in that sense, can a woman be intimidated by a man?
I think so.
Okay, well.
Maybe depending on her self-esteem, depending on her social status and her career in her life, maybe her boyfriend or her lover or her significant other has, maybe he's a CEO or something like that, that could intimidate her because she's like, what, am I even worth sitting here with him or her while, you know, being together? I'm like, am I even important to him like that?
But why would you be intimidated?
Because he could find himself someone who equal to his status, maybe.
I'm not understanding like what you're saying.
Like how we like to say it, they're slumming it.
No, I'm still not. I'm not seeing what you're saying. So the idea nowadays is it's generally, and this is just generally speaking, the idea is that a woman has to be independent, right? Mm-hmm. And I don't mean independent from the guy. I just think it means that women cannot be controlled the way it was done previously to our generation, right? Before, the idea was the common idea was that the man was the man of the house. Whatever he said, it should go, right? The woman was just there to obey, right?
Yeah.
Okay, so do you think right now, do you think that's still okay? Do you think it's true? Do you think it should be done like that?
No, and I don't think it's being run like that now with the younger generation.
And that's my point. So if it's not being run like that right now, so that means that a woman got their independence, right? They're not under the iron fist of a man, right? Because that's what the feminist movement, I think it was the third wave who did that, mm-hmm. right? So we're no longer, the women are no longer actually have to be under the power and control of a man, which is okay. I'm not saying it's not. It's okay. But that means that it comes with a certain responsibilities and cause and effect with that decision. For example, if a woman wants to be independent, that means that she is needs to be able and willing to make her own money, correct? Mm-hmm. Okay, so the man, because if they want to be supported, they shouldn't have a problem with it, right? Right.
Right.
So if a woman makes their own money, right, and they don't need the man to come in and control everything, because now it's a partnership, it's not just one, but it's the actual two, wouldn't you think a man will feel a little intimidated if she takes power and control?
If she takes over in the relationship, I think so.
So you think that a man is going to be intimidated if a woman takes that independence with the power and control?
I think so. Yeah.
Do you think it's okay?
Because it all depends on the upbringing of the man, and if he's raised as a macho, I don't know how to say it, like very strong-willed man in the family, and those are the ways, the upbringings that his family have taught him, I think he would be, you know, offended or affected emotionally, thinking that he's not man enough or the man of the house, like people like to say it.
Mm-hmm. So if they don't, I mean, me as a man, if I'm not able to provide or if I'm not able to fix something, I will feel a little bit bad. That's just because that's the way I am and that's the way I'm wired, right? But mm-hmm. to the point where, let me see if I can word this clearly before I get myself in trouble, because it's one of the topics that I'm definitely walking on landmines, because I know that at one point, at one point, I am going to get myself in trouble. But here it goes, okay? I think that when women have this attitude, right, where they demand things out of a man, right? If a woman wants protection, they just ask mm-hmm. for the protection, and the man should just give it, right? If they want financial stability, then the woman feels comfortable asking for the financial stability, and the man should give it, right? And everything else that comes with being a man. Because again, to me, what society considers a man, it's not the proper one unless you are a man. Because I don't know what it is to be a woman because I am not a woman. Therefore, I think it works the other way around. You cannot tell me how to be a man when you are not a man, period. That's just pretty much my point on view. I can't tell you how to be a woman. You can't tell me how to be a man. Society, on the other hand, tells us all the time how to be a man. And there is not a strict definition of what it is to be a man, okay? But on that being said, if a woman wants protection, she asks for protection. But then once she gets that protection and she feels comfortable, then she can just turn it off like a machine. So I think that's where I have an issue with it, because I've noticed that women, when they want something, they just have to ask for it. So what does a man get in return? So I think that's where the clue is, because it's not a two-way street. If you're mm-hmm. asking me as a man to do something, then I'm expecting something in return. That's where the independency comes. And with the old school ways, the way I saw with my grandparents and my granduncles and everybody who's older than me, is that yeah, they will run the house, right? They will come in because they work and provided and brought food and money, but the woman had the power of the house. They decided what and dictated what was done in the house. So they will get a share of money. They will spend it as wisely as they could, because the men will go out and work. So the woman will actually take care of the house. So there was a mutual understanding there, not that we don't have. So what do you think on that? What do you think that man has to be a man versus a woman instead of actually helping each other out in this new game? Because it's a new game field. What do you think?
It's hard. The topic is really hard because I was brought up really different than you were probably.
So how are you brought up?
I really didn't have a father figure like that. Like I did, but not really technically, due to my father being an alcoholic and in and out of the house. So we really didn't depend on him financially. We didn't have. He provided when he could, but it wasn't enough. So technically, my mother was technically a single mother. Mm-hmm. And she was the head of the household, and she had to provide the way she learned and knew how to provide, being a single mother, actually taking care of two kids, making sure that they were going to school. So it's totally different upbringing. I really didn't, I learned to not depend on a man for things or ask for things from a male. You know, role. I basically had to learn to depend on myself only and make sure that things got done myself. And then if my mother needed assistance, then I would help her with anything that she needed financially.
Mm-hmm.
But I never knew what the male role was because I never really had that establishment at home.
And you know, that's a good example. You did actually brought up a good point. It's, you know, your upbringing, if you didn't have that good example of a male figure, then you wouldn't know what it is a good male figure. But then My thing is that the majority of us don't have a good male figure. We have a father who actually did the same thing that other men did at their generation, and to them it was normal. That to us now it's not normal. It's actually power and controlling, and that could be considered and some sort of abuse, right? Like for example, yeah. If you're running the budget, if a man's running the budget, and they say, listen, I can give you more than this amount, then some people say that that's abuse because now you are actually stopping her from getting the money. And of course, there's so many different scenarios and factors that come into play. But really, do we actually really go into every possibility and scenarios? I doubt it, because you know sometimes it's better to just go with the flow of our imagination and just think and judge. Because we did talk about that in the whole judging and prejudging segment, right? That sometimes we just actually just go with the flow in our interpretations, and we just come up with these conclusions and ideas, and then we just start judging people without really knowing what's going on. So that we apply that all the time. That's the way I see it. The issue here is that if you're an independent woman, right? And again, I am not saying you shouldn't be. I'm saying that you are. If you're an independent woman, great for you. But what are you giving back? That's in the relationship. You're asking for things. You're asking for understanding. You're asking for support. That's so good and dandy. But what are you giving back? For example, in your scenario, you say that you want to get things done and you do it yourself, right? Okay, cool. But then how does your significant other or your partner feels about him being left out and taking away their power in the sense that they can't help? So where is the middle ground here? What do you think it's the role of them together to actually come to a consensus and a conclusion where it says, listen, I know you want to do this, but I really need this. And if it's hard, what if it's hard to do? What do you think?
Mm-hmm. It is hard because sometimes, I don't know, in my relationship, I've been having issues as well. And I've told him that I feel like more of the single parent because things get done because I'm doing them, and he's just on the sideline, and I want someone to literally work with me, and I don't have to ask.
So what does that mean, work with you? What does that mean? Because I hear that a lot from women, but what does that really mean to you as a woman?
Like, simple things. If my son needs something, I don't think I need to ask for, like, I could get it.
Mm-hmm.
I could buy whatever he needs. But the thing is, I'm like, what's your half of, because again, I didn't make this child alone. He is also yours. And you have to contribute in raising this child.
But you see how you...
I don't see...
But you see how in your description, who's making the decision? Who's taking the power? And who's taking the control?
Well, I am, because nothing's being done.
Exactly. But if he doesn't get the opportunity, how can it be done?
It's not that he doesn't get the opportunity. He doesn't make effort to.
Yeah, exactly. So, okay, when you say that he doesn't make the effort, what do you mean by that? Because probably he's making the effort, you just don't see it. Because I go through it all the time.
No, I don't think so.
I mean, you know your scenario. All I'm saying is that in some circumstances, we usually say men are not doing what they're supposed to, right? Their effort. And they probably really are doing their effort. It's just not being showed. And like we talked in the segment about how a man, it's only valued on what he can provide. That's pretty much the idea. If he cannot provide, then he's worthless. But if he's not allowed to provide, then you're literally killing the self-esteem of someone who can actually be a useful tool. Well, I mean, not a tool, but a useful person to create something to make it more into a growth versus actually more of a chaotic and disruptive environment. You know what I'm saying?
Yes and no.
Okay, well, go ahead. Explain. What? Why yes and no?
I mean,
I don't know. I don't know how to explain it. It's hard. It's really hard to explain the role of a relationship because, again, I am, of course, the woman in the relationship, and I'm supposed to work with my husband or boyfriend and work together and let him, you know, give his two cents on what he needs to be doing in the relationship. But maybe I feel like I'm the more predominant one, the dominant one in the relationship because I don't get that masculine, I guess, like machismo role from my significant other. Like he doesn't put effort, or he wasn't raised to be a strong, responsible male figure.
But if men,
I was forced into.
But if men do that, then it should be considered, in some sort of way, or shape, or form, abused. Abuse, not abused, abuse. Because if let's say, for example, if your husband came to you and spoke to you the same way you speak to him, wouldn't you consider that verbally abuse?
I guess. We both talk to each other that way.
Got it. But again, if you speak to somebody, you know, other than you, and you hear the same spiel that you're saying, some of the times, what they say, it's verbal abuse, right? That's, they always come to that, mm-hmm, because of men. A man, by idea, nowadays, it's toxic, right? Everything that a man does, not everything, I'm sorry, the majority of things that a man does, if it goes against what you believe in and against what you feel, then it's already an abuse and it's controlling and forget it. It's just a mess, okay? And I think that what we're failing now, it's the fact that some people think, that they can just grab men as machines or bending machines. And just whenever it's your convenience, then you come in and you ask for things and they're supposed to be done because you're asking for them. You're not giving them options, right? In the sense of the relationship, yeah. Okay? And I that's where I have a problem, because there are some men who might strongly disagree with what's going on, but because they don't want to have an issue, they don't say anything. So why is that different, consider, you know, an abuse compared to if you do it to a woman? So I think that's where this problem is. And I'm not saying that every man is abused. All I'm saying is there are some times where men are very limited on the things they can say. Okay? And I think that sometimes, and again, this is just my theory. I'm not saying that this is done all over the world. But I think that men do not get the credit they deserve. I know there's some men out there who are just, they're bumps, like Mickey used to say in Rocky, right? But there are actually some men that are hardworking. And if a woman, and this is because I hear the conversations and they always come down to the same idea, that if a woman is independent, but they want someone who actually is more financially stable than they are, so they can actually do what they need to do. And in case they need that financial backup, they have it. But is that fair? I don't think a woman will go with somebody. And again, not generalizing, but there are some women who I don't think they will downgrade to what they have right now. If your husband is making $45,000 a year, he says, you know what, I found this hot guy who's only making $5,000. Yeah, let me go with him and find that stability, that financial stability. Would you agree with that? Would you leave if your significant other is making a good amount of chunk of money, would you downgrade for somebody who's making less than a penny? We know love only gets you so far. So don't even, that's the first argument. If I love him.
But it's true. Like, if you truly love this person, you'll stand behind them. Like the saying says, when your vows say, from richer to poor.
Yeah, that's...
you go in hard times.
That's true.
Of course, you're going to have moments where you're going to be poor. And you have to understand that that's going to be an issue. And say if that person is not able to support the family at the moment, and say the woman is, then why is that bad? I am here. I'm your pillar to hold you up.
Because there's no growth.
We're working together because
there's no growth.
Husband and wife.
There's no growth. I'm a firm believer that if you are actually downgrading, it's because you are finding the lack of something. Okay, I'm not saying that the emotion of love is not there. All I'm saying is for example, if your significant other is not, you know, working to better himself, then what's the point? You're pretty much having somebody, you're carrying somebody on with you who you're going to be carrying for the rest of your life. And that's a burden. I think that's a burden. If you are going to carry someone, and again, it could be your wife or your husband or whoever you identify with. But it gets to a certain point where you get tired of actually working all this time and carrying 2, 3, 4 people on your back and not getting anything in return. So where is the motivation for that person to succeed and grow? Do you really want to carry somebody for so many years with him being stable and in the comfort of his own stability? Where's the drive? Where's the passion? Da-da-da-da. You know, what is the incentive here? What are you getting out of it?
I would say for a moment, if he needed me, I'd give him that moment. But like you say, you have to make sure that he's ready and willing and is capable to get back on his feet.
Got it. So what if he's not doing it? What if he's not?
Then there's a limit.
I got it. So if he reaches that limit, would you rather stay with the $5,000 guy or the $50,000, $40,000, or $60,000 guy? Who would you stay with? If you love him, of course. Who would you rather choose?
Well, if this person is not, the person that I love is not really willing to not support me, like financially, but willing to show that he wants to grow with me, then okay. But if he's not motivated to grow with me, then maybe this person that is well financially will help me, not only because I'm not going to use this person for financial needs.
No, I'm not
like
saying
you
that.
Said, we have to grow. We have to grow together, grow in a relationship, not only financially, but mentally, physically, together as a family, as a unit, but working together.
And I'm not saying you're gonna just use somebody to get, you know, your way. No, I'm not saying that. But my point is, if you're a woman, right? Well, if I was a woman, right, and I have the choice of falling in love with somebody who makes $100,000 a year or fall in love with somebody who only makes $10,000 a year, financially speaking, it makes more sense for you to actually end up with somebody who's in a better financial status. Wouldn't you agree? Got it. So
yeah.
Because that brings stability and that brings liberty for you as a person to grow because you know you're stable. And that's my point. And that's what we're looking for, stability. So again, going back to the original topic, some people, they're just looking for them to get better, right? And sometimes men, they don't have the opportunity to do that in some sort of way, shape, or form. And women look for that. And that's what I do agree with. I do agree with, and I understand that women need to actually be independent and men get intimidated because they know they actually will never achieve the standards. And that's something that's scary. Men will never achieve the standards that people want. That's the way I see it. Because, I'm a man. I've seen it. And some men will say, listen, you're probably right. And probably some men will be like, listen, you are just straight up completely wrong, given factors change, circumstances change, whatever. But let's be realistic. A man, it's only worth on what he can provide, plain and simple. So what are we getting back in return? What's my investment?
True, but you always have these multi-billionaire men who are have everything in the world that are accomplished male, but they're not the happiest. They're not fulfilled. Like, yes, money-wise they are, but emotionally and supported by, you know, a significant other.
And you're right. So my question, really aren't. And you're right. So my question again is, what is a man getting back in return in the relationship? And that's, let's just leave it at that. So we can, because we've been talking about 30 minutes, we're going to go to some music and come back. What do you think? All right, we're going to do that right now.
I don't think you're ever going to have an answer for something like this.
No, I already have an answer. I already have an answer. I just, people might think I'm crazy and, you know, it's me. Nobody wants to listen to me. What the heck?
But there's different other forms of answers and yours is not always going to be right.
That's true. That is true. But the answer is in the results that you get. If you are living a life where you are, if you're living a life where you're sad, where you're alone, where you feel unstable, where you feel all these negative feelings, then I will ask myself, what am I doing wrong? How can I fix all of this? But people don't want to fix things. People want to feel things. That's all good and dandy. So what's the issue? Where is the solution? Do you want to just spend the rest of your life in that way of thinking? Or do you actually want to do something about it to fix it? My answer to all of this is just fix it. Look for a solution and fix it, regardless of how painful it is. That's my solution. Like you said, somebody else could have a different answer and they can be masochist and like the life they like. I don't know. But if you ask me, I'll just say fix it. Yeah. But let's go back to music. Let's go to some music. How about that?
Yeah.
All right. I'll be back. We'll be back in a minute, guys. And we're back. All right. So we're going to continue this little argument, but we're going to change it in a little bit more interesting way, okay? This is actually a video that Nelly Baby sent to us. And the question is, it's about this girl asking the guy this simple question, okay? Is it okay to have female friends when you have a girlfriend? So what do you think, Nelly Baby? Is it okay for a guy to have female friends when he has a girlfriend?
Yes and no.
You're totally a Libra.
I'm a Libra.
You are 100%. 100%. Okay, so elaborate on the yes and elaborate on the no.
In the video, the girl says that she would screen the girls on the boyfriend's page.
Uh-huh.
And because there was this one video that was similar to that. Because the lady said there were friends of the husband, and then the husband would go out in outings, or the husband would go to work and he would have a work wife. And, you know, these wives are like, oh no, he's not going to have a work wife. We're not doing that. And that would lead to other roles where other females would think it's okay for him to be flirtatious or them to be flirtatious. And they take it on to another level of not only being friends, but friendly friends, and that's out of the role of being actually like girlfriend material or side girl or whatever you want to call it. So then, like, you're overpassing the wife, and so you have to be screened because some females are going to be too comfortable with their male.
You literally just explain the whole paranoia of people. Screen a human being to be a friend? Are you kidding me?
Yes.
You're kidding, or yeah, you should be screened. That is insane.
No, you should be screened because what if I need to know the girl first to see if I get any form of feelings that she has a thing for my boyfriend.
But that's just a based of an interpretation. That is you assuming things. Yes. No, that's exactly it.
So how would you feel if your wife came and started had all these guys on her Facebook and basically they're sending her, you know, hey, honey, you look good.
It's great that you mentioned it.
How about we go out for some drinks?
It's great that you mentioned it because honestly, there's nothing I can do. There's nothing I can do. How am I going to tell an adult, a person, to not do certain things? How is it? There's no way. I wouldn't be able to do it. I will not be able to do it. Because again, if it comes from me being a man, it's a sign of control. And I'm controlling my significant other or my wife, right? So if she feels that I'm getting controlled and she's feeling that she's getting abused, then who's the one that's going to lose that battle? This guy right here. So as a man, I can't do that. Because now it's control. And the whole independency thing, yeah, that's one of the burdens. Because now I cannot question anything. Because if she feels a certain way, then I'm the one that's going to be losing this argument. And having an argument all the time makes no sense. So screening someone, I don't know. So I don't think we can get away with that.
So then she won't tell you who you can hang around with or how many girlfriends you could have online?
She wouldn't. No. She's allowed to tell me because again, men are pigs and all men are dogs and all men, you know, are horny and they just want to bang anything they see. So yeah, no, it's totally allowed that she could actually ask me how many, you know, friends or girlfriends I have on social media. But it's not the same the other way around. I couldn't do that. So
why?
I just explained it because then she will feel in a certain way that it's not healthy for the relationship. And will create problems.
But she could bring it up and you can't.
That's the majority of women do. Like, do you question your boyfriend's friends on do you do the screening? I doubt it.
No, because he doesn't have that I know of. He doesn't have females on his page.
Got it. So since you are part of the show and I am your friend, is it okay for him to come and screen me?
I think so. No. I don't.
You see where this is going? You see how this goes? You see how insane that sounds? Now that you have it in another perspective, like if he comes to me with a notebook and says, "Listen, Charlie, because you are my girlfriend's friend. Can I have about 30 minutes of your time so we can go through the survey?" I'd be like, "What the heck are you talking about, man?
What's your favorite color?"
Dude, really? That just sounds insane. It sounds See, but because a woman said it, it's like, "Hey, no, it's all good. I think it's a good idea." But if you were to come to me and say, "Listen, I'm going to screen you," I'd be like, "Whoa, whoa, whoa. Hold that thought. Back it up. We're not doing this. We are not doing this."
And it's the same thing if you're screening for friends, new friends. If you don't match with somebody, then you're not going to hang around with this person.
That is insane. Because if you click, you click. That's it. I don't have to question anybody about clicking. Ain't nobody messing with my click. Click.
I don't want no new friends, no stranger danger. No. If I don't feel that aura, I don't feel that connection, we can't talk.
Got it. But so... The question was if it's okay for a guy to have female friends when they have a girlfriend. I think they're allowed to have female friends when they have a girlfriend. I mean, again, there's something that has to be clear cut. My issues are my issues, your issues are your issues, and we're gonna resolve them together. But there's a certain limit where you can just bring those issues. Like, listen, it's just weird. It's just weird if somebody comes and asks you a grown woman or a grown man. And start, you know, going through your stuff and start asking, you know, is she trying to do this and she's trying to do that? I get the whole fear and the paranoia and the jealousy thing. I get that. Because that's pretty much what it is. It's jealousy and paranoia, right? And just you thinking that something's going to happen because something happened in your past life and somebody did something to you or you saw somebody doing something and now you think everybody is going to be just doing the same thing. And I get that. Those fears, I get them. But to the point where you are actually telling somebody not to do something because you're feeling afraid? Is that correct? Is that right? I don't think it's right.
I don't know. Because how would you feel if somebody, like, every post you had, they liked your significant other's picture, or they hearted it, or...
Isn't that what social media is for?
Underneath. I don't know. There's a limit. There's a limit to having... There's a limit to how close or you can be on social media with another person. Because wouldn't that be considered cheating if you're, like, having, like, DMs on the side with a significant friend of yours on Facebook?
Depends on the conversation, but you wouldn't know because, I mean, if you ask, then if she gets offended, then... Because think about this. It's a matter of trust here. You got to trust the person, right?
Yes, so, but what if that person on the other side of the screen has a motive to get with your person?
But, okay, so if the other person on the other side of the screen has a motive to a plan or an agenda, and you are falling for it, and you fall for it, then it's not the person who's starting it, it's the person who actually is responsible for accepting it. I mean... Let's be realistic here. It takes two to tango. So if one starts it and the other one continues it and they actually go with it, then it's both their fault, right? Mm-hmm. Okay, so who's the one violating the trust? Not the one going for it, the one that accepts the proposal. That's the one who's violating the trust. So why are we gonna blame the female or male if the significant other takes the bait? So are you not trusting your partner? Is that what we go down to? You're not trusting your significant other? Not you in general, not you, but people who are actually going through this, are they not trusting their significant other? And if they're not trusting them, why don't they trust them?
Because what they're doing is hiding the phone and not letting me see who they're texting.
So then why are you there?
Who they're talking to?
So again, going back to my theory in life, why are you there? Fix it. Why are you there? You see where I'm coming with this? Like, if that person is being unfaithful, right, in quotes, and you know that you cannot trust this person, and you rather be with this person because, you know, you're afraid of leaving or you have financial stability or whatever your reasons are for staying, that's okay. Nobody's telling you to leave, but you're choosing that. So why are you going to go through, I'm not going to have female friends, he's not going to have female friends because they're going to take him away from me. Why? Why is that mistrust? Why is it that this person is not being trusted? So that's the key here. Why is there not trust? You're giving me a lot of that air, my friend, a lot of that air.
Maybe because there's a motive that was given before with all the lies and the holding things back that kind of just interrupted or makes that, like, you know, how can you say it? That makes you have boundaries now that I cannot no longer trust this person because they have a past.
And I understand that, but you see how you're making the choice? It's nobody else but your choice. So why are you going to stop an adult from being an adult? A cheater's a cheater. A liar's a liar. A thief's a thief. Why are we stopping them with this? Now, I'm not saying it only actually applies from women to men, but also men get a little crazy sometimes. That's why we have the whole domestic violence things and how people... Like recently with that poor lady who got shot at home and by the cop, and then he killed himself. Like, it could get real. These things could get really serious, really dark, really quick. So it just starts with a little bit of mistrust and all that stuff. And there's a whole different dynamic of how this thing could start, but it always starts somewhere. So the question is, why tolerate it? And if you're in danger, why are you staying? Why can't we fix it? Do you see where I'm going back with my theory in life? Just fix it. Fix it. It's all good. Just fix it. You make the choice, you fix it. You don't want to fix it, you make the choice. That's all it takes. That's all it is.
Just fix it.
Fix it. No, it's not so hard. It's the fear, but it's not hard. So men, and I'll say this, and it did take me a lot, right? Because at one point I was like that. You know, I was also a little stalkerish with, you know, look at the phone and look at the messages and all that stuff. But I noticed that it was actually more in my head, the things that I will think and the things that I supposedly were happening, but it was just because of my interpretation of what was going on. So I knew that the problem was not that, not my significant other, but me. So once I realized that it was me, I fixed it. You see how I'm going back? I fixed it. And then now if she has any friends on Facebook, I mean, what else can I do? There's nothing I can do. She's an adult. She's a human being. She's allowed to. I'm not questioning. I'm not questioning one bit. You give me a lot of that air. A lot of that air. Come on.
True. You have to fix it and talk and communicate with one another to see what's missing in the relationship and the trust. And I guess you have to be open to be trusting again. But it's hard. Like, you fool me once, shame on me. Fool me twice, and then it just continues on. Are you willing to trust and continue trusting if they're not pulling their effort into the relationship?
That's the question, right? So if you are having all these guy friends or these girlfriends and you're afraid that they're going to cheat on you for X, Y, and Z, and that's because that's the reason why they're doing it, right? To see if they're trustworthy, if they're going to take a misstep and be unfaithful. Okay, if you have that idea, okay, and something has happened in your past for you to actually develop and create that idea, then find out what happened and fix it. Because that's pretty much what it is. It's an idea. Sometimes by just being like that and thinking like that, it pushes people away. It really pushes people away. So why would, again, you're making a choice. You're literally making a choice and you're not fixing it because of the fear. So why it's stopping you? Not you in general, but you know, what's stopping these people that are going through this whole thing? If you have children, I get it. If you need the financial stability, I get it. If you need X, Y, and Z, I totally get that. It's a reality of life. I get those 100%. But what are you doing to actually stable yourself? And that's what the other segment I was really intrigued about, the whole independence thing, because if you're independent, that means you're working on yourself and alone, right? You're not you're not dependent on somebody else. That's why it's called independent. You're not dependent of somebody. So why do we need to have that mentality where I need this for me to survive here? So you're not independent, you're being codependent. That's the key word. We're being codependent. Yeah. So that's as toxic as they come. So why do you have to blame everything else on the outside where we actually do not look internally? So that's the question. Fix it.
Fix it.
I fixed it. Well, I fixed it. I'm telling you, man.
That's going to be your saying now? Fix it?
Fix it. I'm going to have a t-shirt that says fix it. Have a little tool. And the psychology manual.
Fix it. You gonna add a broom on there too?
That's right. Mhm. That's what I'm gonna do. All right. So
I'm still waiting.
You're still waiting. What, on the broom?
On the merchandise.
Oh yeah, we're gonna be having some cool merchandise on the phrases we do. Like this, that's gonna be a shirt. Fix it. That's gonna be definitely gonna do that. Must send it. Must make it.
That's gonna be Charlie's thing.
Yeah, I don't mind. It's gonna be my thing. So when it explodes, it's gonna be like, oh, that was Charlie, not Nelly Baby. Another teacher that says it's only Charlie in the back, not Nelly Baby. That's what I'm
going
to do.
Let it blow up because it has Nelly Baby on it.
I know, right? Like, dang. Backfired. It totally backfired. So anything else you want to add?
I'd say if you're willing to check on your man's friends, then you
or have women's.
To be open to let him or women.
There you go.
You need to be open for them to also give you an ultimatum.
I agree. I 100% agree. I think that the moment you move beyond that, for example, if there is something in your head that is just making you go to these kinds of extreme routes, I think it's time for you to actually analyze what's going on and try to make the best decision out of it. And by that, I mean fix it. And it sounds horrible. It really does. It really does sound horrible when I say fix it, right? Because it pretty much demeans everything that's going on. And it's condescending because of the way I'm saying it. I totally get that 100%. I'm not saying that it's a good phrase to say. But we're going to get into that in the next segment. So we're going to go to some music and we'll come back. How about that?
Mm-hmm.
All right. Welcome back. And we're back for our final segment. It's been an interesting conversation. Like I said in the beginning, we're actually stepping in landmines. So we're really careful on how we say things because we don't want to get yelled at, right? But I think that's one of the issues that we have, that we're now sugarcoating everything. I'm not saying to be offensive. I'm not saying to be a jerk. But there are some things that need to be said. So I think that we're not up there yet. Like Joe Rogan, he's trying to get canceled by everybody and their mama. Neil Young and some other artists, they actually pulled their music out from Spotify because of this misinformation about the COVID-19. I'm thinking the majority of the people right now, nowadays, the new generation, know who Neil Young is? I doubt it. I really doubt it. You know, if you do know who Neil Young is, good for you. That means you're old. If you know who Neil Young is. Oh, I mean, I know. I love Neil Young. I love his music. I actually do play.
I know who Neil Young is, but who's Joe Rogan?
Really? Joe Rogan? The podcast guy?
Is that the Girls Gone Wild guy?
Did you ever see the show Fear Factor?
Oh, yeah.
That guy.
Didn't he also do a Girls Gone Wild?
I have no idea. I didn't watch any of those videos because I'm gonna get in trouble. I never saw those videos. Oh, I don't know what you're talking about.
You've never seen those videos. Wink, wink.
Not the Girls Gone Wild.
Wink.
Dang. You know what? That's just awful from you. That's awful that you're doing that. That's awful. Because right, a true gentleman never kisses and tells.
Are you gonna do a blink? If you need help.
Yeah. I'm not gonna blink. I'm not gonna blink at all. Anyways, so this last segment, okay? I saw a meme and I think it was a good idea to bring it up, okay? Because I'll be honest with you, this is one of my biggest pet peeves ever. I really, whenever they talk about this, it really blows my top because I get so irritated by this. But I'm gonna give you the topic. The idea of repressing emotions is a sign of strength. The idea of pressing emotions is a sign of strength. No, it's not. It is not a sign of strength. We're just gonna get that out of the way now. It is not a sign of strength.
Repressing?
Yes. It is not a sign of strength.
I thought it said destroy the idea that repressing emotions is a sign of strength.
I didn't get that. But if we're going to go, we can touch both. I don't, it's the last segment. Who cares? Destroying the idea or just suppressing emotions, it's pretty much true. I mean, let's just say something I'm going to say something in particular, okay? Men suppress their emotions a lot. Okay, we know, and the majority already know, it's because the way they grow up. Because when they were the when they were kids, and I actually did talk about this with the whole book, Real Boys, that was a whole topic. So pressing your emotions when you're a kid was a sign of being a man. Okay, fine, we can agree with that. But now we're on the other side of the spectrum, where everybody feels everything, and that it's also not good. So you get on one side where I'm not going to feel anything because I got to do this, 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 and that. But then if you're feeling everything that's happening in the world, you're also not achieving the things you need to do. So why are we saying that suppressing emotions, it's bad? Because it is bad, because it's killing yourself. But also, come on, man, let's not go overboard and start feeling. I've known people that cried over things that I'm like, really? Like that is they create during movies for God's sake. It's a fake. It's a story. It's fake, and they cry. Why? Okay, I'm gonna let you handle that.
What was that movie? Oh my God! Oh, I was watching Veneno, the movie, the documentary on the transsexual in the 90s. A trans woman, sorry, because they no longer use that role.
What role?
Trans woman in the 90s. She literally had suffered a really hard life. So, yeah, I was a sucker crying during that movie because her death was really sad. The way she died was, like, really traumatic, and her family, instead of mourning correctly, used her death as a way for, like, what's it called? Like a publicity stunt to get money off the state, which was Madrid. And they were trying to con and get publicity for her death. So the sisters, which was funny because one of the sisters was lesbian, and she ended up basically trying to sell out her own sister or trans sister out to the media to make some money. So, like I was literally crying during that whole ending of the series, which I do recommend on HBO Max, whoever wants to see it. It's a must-see.
and I obviously...
So yes, I'm a sucker who was crying.
Okay, so obviously I know that, you know, as a normal human being, you will feel triggered emotionally and cry. I mean, when I said that earlier, it was just a rant. But I do hear that a lot, where they say, listen, you became so cold that nothing bothers you and you don't feel anything. Well, it's not the fact that people don't feel things. Like, in my case, it's not that I don't feel anything. It's just that I decide to fix it, you know, to get that negative emotion that I'm feeling and come with a solution. Now, am I suppressing? Maybe, but I'm getting the negative emotion and turn it into a positive reaction, right? And I always said that, like, listen, I know you're gonna feel bad. That's something we cannot avoid. The feeling of despair, sadness, and impotence, that's always gonna be there. But what do you do with that? And that's the reason why I want to bring this segment is because what do we do nowadays with that negative emotion? How do we deal with it? And I've noticed, and this is my own opinion and theory on things, is that we're using more of the negative emotion to create negative solutions. And I think that's actually being it's affecting us nowadays because we're not creating something different. Mm-hmm. We're creating the same thing that's being corrosive and destructive in anything we do. So the question is, why do we do that?
Well, when I was younger, I was looking at one of the comments down below of the meme itself. Like, they hold their emotions, or like me, I was told that I couldn't feel or cry, to suck it up. And, like, same thing, hugs weren't really a thing in my household. So, like, my mom would say, it's okay, it's okay. You know, go to your room. Don't cry. It's okay. I couldn't show emotions. Say I fell and it hurt. Okay, dust off, clean up, and don't cry. It's okay. You'll be fine. Why are we, since a young age, why are we not allowed to feel what we feel?
Because we need to survive.
And I kind of get how the new generation is now feeling, and they are now telling the kids it's okay to have feelings and show their emotions because it helps them express themselves on how they're feeling or their emotions or represent who they are, I guess.
Say that one more time. I didn't get it.
Like, now schools are saying it's okay for them to cry. It's okay to say that they don't like something or express who they express their feelings so that way they don't feel repressed or it doesn't allow them to represent who they are, who their character is.
Okay, so what I'm hearing is it's okay for them to express the emotions so they can find themselves? That's what their school are doing now?
Something like that.
Okay.
Mm-hmm.
The downfall with that is that the way I see emotions is the way it's like a Pandora box, right? You have all these things inside, right? And you want to bring them out, but we're not educated enough, and I'll say that myself because I wasn't educated enough, to bring them out. Now, my way of bringing my emotions out before was through anger and violence. That's pretty much how I used to handle that, mm-hmm. right? So I got myself into a huge lot of problems, and that's what sent me to anger management, right? So there's a moment where you're learning this new kind of programming, right? And you're seeing why they're saying things like that. You can't be aggressive. You can't be violent. You can express. You can feel. You can let it out, right? But that brings another idea of being vulnerable, right? And we said it in the last segment, if you fool me once, shame on me. And if you fool me once, shame on you. If you fool me twice, shame on me. And that's the thing we're afraid of. So if I'm coming with all my emotions and I bring it to somebody and put them in a silver platter so they can actually make with it as they please. Because when you share your feelings, you are actually looking for something. You're actually wanting somebody to do something with this, right? And it needs to be respected and understood for you to actually communicate of what you want to do and what you need to be done with those feelings. My around the ballpark here, do you think it's legit what I'm saying?
Yes.
Okay, so once you give these emotions or these feelings to someone, it could be your significant other, your family members, anybody, and they completely destroy it and they make you feel worse, why would you do it again? Why? So some people cope with, I'm not expressing this, and I'll bottle it inside. And now we have that problem where now you're always angry and grouchy and you're violent because you're not letting all those emotions out. The thing we don't actually learn, and again, you have to go to a therapist for this because we're not, again, I did that so I can, you know, better that mechanism in my head, is that they teach you techniques of actually how to deal with that emotion. So if you deal with the emotions on your own, sometimes it's more productive. But people don't see it when you actually do it on your own because you're not being communicative, mm-hmm. right? So if they're seeing that you're not expressing it, then they're thinking that you're just repressing. And that's where the problem is, because some people actually are expressing it. Some people are not. But why is it that everybody has to be, if you're a man, why does it have to be that you're just not communicative if you just don't express it when you're dealing with it on your own? So that's where my issue comes in. Why does it have to be bad if you want to deal with it on your own?
Maybe because it's the, like you say, the male role. Males are not allowed to express themselves or hold back their feelings because it's not masculine enough if you do show your feelings.
But I experienced that
in our day.
Well, no, because I experienced back in my days that I had two great friends, actually four great friends, and I knew that I could trust them, and whenever I was going through something, I actually communicated with them, and we managed it together, and I did that for them as well. So there was, like I said before, a brotherhood. I believe that a lot of men actually do have that. I think the issue here is when a man is not expressing with his significant other. Now she's being left out of the conversation because she's not able to be included. And then he goes into the whole, you don't trust me, and you know the deal. You know this pill. The problem here is, what's going to be the end game? Do you want me to be okay without you being involved? Or you want me to actually do something with what involves you but not be okay? So what's the end game here?
Yeah, that's hard too, because I'm kind of the same way, where I just basically like hold my feelings in because I can't express myself correctly. So either I repress my feelings, which is not good because later on I'll burst either of anger or just have an all blown out anxiety and crying fest galore. So it's really hard. It's hard because I'm, like I said before, I was taught at a young age not to show emotions or to hug, or because my mom was basically the same. They really didn't, and even my aunt told me that they weren't really shown to say I love you. They weren't really shown to say, or to show how they feel. They weren't allowed to cry, and or hug. So it's basically brought on from generation to generation, which I'm trying to break that cycle with my own child. So when he feels like he wants to cry or he's emotional, I have my moments where I tell him, okay, it's okay, it's okay. But sometimes I just grab him and you know, hold him and let him cry out whenever he feels like he wants to cry. And I tell him it's okay to cry. So there's moments where I kind of have to break away from my old teachings of how I was taught as a kid. And it's hard now, like, trying to break free from those. Like you say, you were taught to do this, you were taught to do that, and now you don't want your child to have those suppressed feelings like you did and grow up basically how I did.
And I think that when we're saying to our kids, you know, you shouldn't suppress this, okay, and you let them express themselves, which again, it should be allowed. That I'm not saying that it should not, it should be allowed. But then what I think we need to teach our kids is how to get that, like I said, how to get that negative emotion and turn it into a mm-hmm. positive action. You know, and I think that nowadays with the kids, it's not being done. So if a crazy maniac like myself that has all these dumb, crazy theories can say this, why the people that are normal and experts in this whole thing are not able to come up with an idea they can actually teach kids to deal with this on a regular level? I mean, that I know of, there's nothing that is being done. Mm-hmm. Have you heard something about it? Actually, people trying to teach kids how to deal with the negative emotion to create something positive? It's not. I don't think so.
There are some schools, you know, those preschools and all, like the special boarding schools, private schools that do have like sessions like that. Oh, it's okay to show how you feel. It's okay.
So we show how we feel.
Expressing themselves.
Yeah, so we show how we feel. Okay, so I feel sad. Here, here. Tap, tap. Rub, rub. Okay, now you go on your day. That doesn't take it away. It actually makes you feel worse because now you feel like you're incomplete. Tap, tap, hug, hug, go away. It doesn't make any sense. And we see it even with kids who their parents do the same thing. Oh, it's okay. Tap, tap, here, here, go away. And again, I mean that in a sarcastic way, but in reality what happens, and I've seen this, is that they come with the kid, they give him a hug and say, listen, this is pretty much what you know, I went through and did this, And then they leave it at the story of how they grew up, right? And then they send them on their way. And then they start questioning, why is it that, why can't I get rid of this? How do I get rid of this, right? So if we don't help them get rid of that in that moment, how are they going to be able to function when they're older? And we're seeing that a lot right now. The cases of depression and anxiety have skyrocketed in the last 2 years because of COVID. So again, when the whole COVID thing started and me being crazy, I said to myself, okay, we're in a pandemic. It is what it is. Let's make this shit last as long as it can and just do whatever I got to do. So every day I will go into work. I was afraid. I was scared. I was nervous. I was anxious. But every single day I try to do something different where people can actually feel like they're being helped, right? So that was my way of expressing myself, my anxiety, my depression, my sadness, and bringing it into a place where somebody else could have felt better. And that made me feel better. But you see how the dynamic, it's very complex, because you have to realize that there is a problem. There is a way that you're feeling, and you use that into a way that people can actually benefit from it. And I think that's where we are not seen. Because if you're afraid of getting sick, and you're constantly working your brain and your mind where it's making you feel so uptight and you just let it out, but there's no solution, when you wake up tomorrow, it's going to be there. The same thing. And the day after that. And the day after that. And the day after that. So what's the solution? What's the end game? To me, make it into a positive action. And that's how I deal with my things. Now, people sometimes, they're like, oh, you're always chirpy and happy. Yeah, but that's because I choose to be chirpy and happy, because if I bottle things inside, then I'm going downhill and I am not going to be productive. And I've said this before, me as a man, I need to be productive because that's my value of a man. So it just comes into this whole complex things and ideas that sometimes suppressing seems like the best solution, but really it isn't. And I think that we need to see the two sides of the coin that I don't think people are seeing. And that's just my intake on things. So when I was saying earlier that I sound condescending to say they fix it and all that stuff, when I say just fix it, what I really mean is really look deep into yourself and find out what are your flaws and literally face them and change it, because the only person you're going to be helping is yourself. I mean, that's the way I see
it. That's true.
So remember the nucleus, and then you spread to your whole environment. That's pretty much what it is. That's the way I see it. I was like, holy cow, who's moving around here? Probably my ghost. So what do you think?
No, it's true. Especially the last 2-3 years, my anxiety has gotten sky high. And there's moments where I can't stay still. But I've been keeping busy with, music. I've tried to meditate. Best thing is anxiety nap time. So I take a little 20-minute nap so I can relax, because my mind is just overthinking. If not, I start doodling or I start working on the podcast playlist so it could calm me down a bit.
Yeah, so there you go. Negative emotions into positive solutions. I do mean that. And I appreciate, because I've seen how she actually has been going on. And I try my best. I'll be honest with you guys. Sometimes she wants to come in like this and, I want to vent. And she does vent for many, many days. And they get to the point where like, okay, are we going to fix this or what? Like, sir, I've been a jerk. I'm not going to lie. I've done that. But there's also...
I'm not going to lie either.
Huh?
I said, I'm not going to lie either.
No, you're not going to lie either, right? But... I feel that when you as a person really wanna release all of this, then you start working on it. Just doing small things. I did say that in the Spanish podcast when I was doing the Think and Grow Rich book. It does say in our, states a little bit that says that if you do little battles and get little victories, that creates a bigger reward. And I do believe that. Something small, right? A mountain's not created just by this big, you know, piece of rock. No, it just gets built little by little, right? Or if there's a crack somewhere, it starts with the little tip and a chip, right? And that's how everything, you know, starts and gets going. So why can we use that mentality when we are trying to fix each other? They're hard times. They're really hard times. But let's be realistic. They can get worse. And they could be worse. And nobody said life was easy. And nobody said life was perfect. So there's a reason why there's a yin and yang. Chaos and order. You have to do both. You have to do both. You have to deal with both of them. That's just the way I see it. So no suppressing. But do work on it. Do work on it.
But also, people have to learn to just have a shoulder for their person, and or a year. See, hanging around with you is really messing
up. Yeah, I see. I see.
Or having an ear for your person, your best friend, your girlfriend, your boyfriend. Maybe sometimes they don't rely on you to fix it, but just hear them out. So that way, maybe listening or having them express the way they feel at that moment is just a way to let it go and then work from there to make positive out of it.
Yeah, but see, the way I see the, again, this is just, that's just one of my downfalls, is that I try and I can't do it. I mean, I do it up to a certain point, but then after a certain point, I'm like, dude, are we going to move from here? Like, and they say, oh my God, you're a jerk. And I said, yeah, but if I was able to do it, why can't you do it? So that's my question. If I was able to go through the work and go through the self-reflections and go through the negative feelings and look at the past and fix everything internally, if I was able to do that, why can anybody else do it? And that's my question.
Because not everybody runs like Charlie runs.
I got it. But it's not, I'm not asking, or again, in this scenario, I'm not asking for anybody to do the impossible. That's what I'm saying. I know that not everybody's like me, but I am not Elon Musk. I am not going to go and invent a spaceship so it can take me to Mars. I'm not doing that. So this is just, I guess, a regular common thing that we should be learning, because I'm not asking for the extraordinary, something basic. Look at yourself.
Oh, true, basic, but like I said before, you have a way of moving and thinking that maybe is faster and easier than other people might be willing to go. Maybe it takes them longer to
maybe it's fear.
Jump that hoop or the fear?
Maybe it's fear. Maybe it's doubt. Maybe self-worth.
True.
John Peterson, Peterson says that we take better care of other people because we know and we think they're worth it, but we're not worth it to take care of ourselves the same way. So then my question becomes, why are you not worth it? So without you, without the person in the world, that person you, the network that runs around you, it will disintegrate. So you are important in that network or in that area or that social structure. You're important. So the question is, why do you think you're not? So that's where I'm coming from. So if I'm asking, listen, you can go and change it and fix it. I was able to do it. Oh, no, because you are different. You were raised in a generation. Yeah, that's all good and dandy. But I also had my doubts. And I also went through the same thing you're going through. What makes me more special than you? Nothing makes me more special than you. So if we can relate into that sense, and again, it's a two-way street, right? That's the way I see it. If you want to vent and you wanna release all of that, but then people are throwing you back the information of how they see things, you fixing it, then your responsibility, it's to actually work on it. So you can become better for the people that are around you. your kids, mm-hmm. your significant other, your family, right? So you can create that new world. Like Gandhi said, you wanna be in the world. It's the best one you can create. Paraphrasing. I'm not exactly sure how the quote goes, but it's true. If you want to actually change something, you got to start with yourself, and then it will spread.
Yeah.
You're the nucleus.
It's true.
All right. How about if we close here?
I give it to you, Charlie.
Thank you. Oh, wait, hold on. Say it again. What?
I hope you're recording this. Yes, I give it to you.
It only took me a year, but I won. I've won. And with that note, I'm going to close. So, guys, don't forget to share. Don't forget to like. If you have any suggestions or questions, there is an option on Spotify and Anchor and all the other platforms that we're going to put a question and we can ask you, hey, what do you guys think about this today? And you can reach out to us and give us your opinions. We love to hear from you guys because, again, we are not experts. We are not gods. We don't know everything. But I do try to throw my experiences to see if maybe we can help somebody. All right? Like she said, not everybody's me, but I'm not everybody else. So I don't know how you guys function. I really don't know. So if you guys want to, you know, share ideas, we're more than happy to be here. Okay. So follow us on Facebook. Follow us on Instagram. Charlie's Bunker. That's the name of the page. I'm really trying not to boom pass out right now. But that's the thing. I should actually do the podcast more when I'm tired. Yeah, I think I'm going to do that. Not you, though, because you gave me a lot of that air today.
Tired?
You did give me a lot of that air today, so we're not going to let you do that.
I could always, you know, not record.
That is true. There's always a choice, but we did cover this before. You're Libra. You will not be able to make a choice. So I'm safe on that one.
The show is, like I said before, it is Charlie's Bunker.
Yeah.
You can bunker.
Yeah.
With your own self.
That's pretty much how this whole thing started. Yeah. Yeah. But you're not going anywhere. So what's the issue?
Because you're telling me, like, you know.
I don't know.
Too, this is off my time limit where, you know, I'm old. This is my sleepy time.
All right. We're going to leave it here, guys. See you next week. Bye, Nelly Baby.
Thanks for listening, guys.
Don't
forget to check and send us your playlist. I am going to be doing a 90s list playlist this week with this episode. So if you have any songs that you want to hear, maybe in the future, please don't forget to send us playlists.
All right, guys. With that being said, take care. Deuces.